BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts. Tell It.
Hello, it's Rhys Parkinson here, and welcome to Tell It, Radio 1 and One Extra's new storytelling podcast. Each month, we bring you a new box set, following a different story, uncovering a new world, and putting you at the centre of it. This Sunday, we bring you From Gay to Non-Gay. In this series, James Barr, who is gay, and Dan Hudson, who is non-gay, travel around Northern Ireland to find out what life is like for the LGBTQ plus community there. On their journey, they find out that some people are turning to so-called gay conversion therapy. This is when people try to stop fancying people of the same sex. It's a controversial practice, and for James, who's gay, it's a difficult trip.
Hi, I'm James Barr. I'm a gay.
Hi, I'm Dan Hudson. I'm a non-gay.
And this is From Gay to Non-Gay. No.
I think it's From Gay to Non-Gay.
So, yeah, because it's
got a question, so it's got to go up.
Right, so...
Okay, how about this? From gay to non-gay? From gay...
You're still saying gay, weirdly. You're putting a question mark on gay as well.
No, I'm putting a comma on gay. From gay to non-gay to non-gay?
So, yeah, I'm James. I'm gay.
I'm Dan. I'm non-gay. And we do a podcast called A Gay and a Non-Gay. And we've come to Belfast, Northern Ireland. What? Why?
Are you for real?
Yeah.
Are you
yes,
for real?
Yes.
What do you mean? Why? Can you actually
just,
not remember?
Just remind me.
No, Dan, that's absolutely outrageous. Like, there's been a ton of emails about this. We've had loads of messages from our listeners telling us that life for LGBT people in Northern Ireland is really different to the rest of the UK. So you and I had a whole conversation about how we'd come over here and figure out what was going on.
Yeah. All right. I remember. And yeah, there was one thing in particular that they wanted us to shine a light on.
Yes.
Which is gay conversion therapy.
Right. And so basically that is the idea that through some kind of process, you can make gay people like me stop fancying someone of the same sex. That's why there's like a confusing question mark on the end of the title of this series.
So do you think that you'll be non-gay by the end of this series?
I mean, who knows? Do you think you'll be gay by the end of it?
Who knows?
Well, we've never spent this much time together, have we?
I guess we'll find
this
out.
This will be our first time spending more than, like, a couple of hours together for a whole week. Who knows what could blossom?
Exactly. What do you think you'd be like if you were non-gay?
I don't know, really. Well, if we're looking at you, I'd probably wear board shorts all the time.
They're not board shorts.
I wouldn't really care about deodorant. Probably wouldn't put any moisturiser on. You don't do any of that. Do you wear moisturiser?
Yeah.
You don't put any products in your hair, though, do you?
No.
You don't put like a thickening spray
no.
or like some oils?
No, I haven't got time for that.
I haven't got time for gel?
No.
Nothing?
No.
Hairspray?
No, but it's really short, isn't it?
So that would be me.
It's too short for that.
My hair would be a frizzy mess, and I'd be a proud non-gay. What would you be like if you were gay?
Good crack.
Why are you saying that you're not good crack now?
Anyway, one of our listeners from Belfast is such a legend, he actually met us at the airport.
Oh my God, hi!
Hi!
Oh my God, hug!
Welcome to Belfast.
Hi, how you doing?
His name is Curtis, he gives great hugs, and he told us why he DM'd us.
Northern Ireland doesn't have marriage equality yet.
I mean, I literally didn't know that, and if it's so bad, I didn't know.
Why do you think that is?
I think Northern Ireland's just quite a conservative place. It's different from the rest of the UK.
Okay, road trip! Oh my God.
Right, I'm about to put some music on.
Oh God.
No! I am not listening to that. Yes!
Yes!
I'm still not over that, whatever that was. Lamb of God, no honey.
Anyway, talking of God...
what a segue.
Curtis took us on a tour of the city and he told us that actually religion is a huge part of life in Northern Ireland.
There's a divide between people who would describe themselves as unionist, so it'd be mainly sort of Protestant religion who want Northern Ireland to remain a part of the United Kingdom, and then you've also have the nationalist viewpoint, would be sort of predominantly Catholic, who would be people who would prefer that Northern Ireland would sort of join with the Republic of Ireland.
Okay, so Dan, I don't really understand the situation with all of the religious vibes here, so as it's kind of confusing to me, do you want to, like, explain?
Well, luckily for you, James, I have a degree in politics.
Oh, here she goes with a degree in politics. You're going to mansplain it to us.
Well, technically, mansplaining is explaining things to a woman.
In a really patronising
way.
A bit like the way you're currently describing what mansplaining is to me. So are you ready to hetero explain?
Anyway, as Curtis said, there were years of violence in Northern Ireland known as the Troubles between people in Protestant and Catholic communities. It was all about whether Northern Ireland should be part of the UK or not. So there's peace now, but there's still a divide between the communities. So your religious background can be just so much more than a personal faith in Northern Ireland. It can determine where you live, the school you go to, your friends, your community. There's Catholic areas, there's Protestant areas.
So wait, if there's different areas and if you're Catholic, you live in one place, and if you're Protestant, you live in another, where do the atheists live?
It doesn't work like that. You would probably still identify culturally with one community or the other. You can identify as Catholic or Protestant without necessarily believing in God. It's kind of like what group you're in, even if it's not actually about your religious beliefs.
Okay, so I had no idea about any of this stuff at all, and I still don't really understand why your religion or your religious faith has anything to do with anyone else anyway. So, and more so, like, what has that got to do with the gay community?
Well, I guess we'll find out.
Oh, is that where the degree in politics ends? And the documentary starts?
I guess so.
Okay, so we're here in Belfast. And what is the thing that you normally do when you first get to a city, Dan?
Go to a hotel, have a nap.
Well, we're not doing that. But the first thing I do is I want to check out the gay scene. So I've got Curtis to take us to a gay club. Yes! We've just popped upstairs to freshen up before Curtis takes us on the town. What are you wearing, Dan?
Because you can't wear that.
Wear what?
You can't wear... What is that? It's Arch Enemy album t-shirt.
Well, yeah.
No, because it's not gay, is it?
Well, I'm not gay.
You're going
gay.
To a gay club.
Yeah, but I'm not gay.
Okay, did you bring scissors?
For what?
Well, the curtains look quite good, so I'd maybe just make an outfit for you.
Good one.
Well, I'm wearing my Hi Hun t-shirt. It's got metallic writing.
Right.
Not Metallica.
Well, no, but it is very metal. The font's very metal.
No, it's not.
No, well, yes, it
no,
is.
No, it's not.
Right, well, it is.
It's not. It's fabulous.
Well,
it's not a metal t-shirt, okay? Let's just go. I love the Wi-Fi password in here. Cheers, queers, all lowercase.
Woo, we're in a gay box. Full boom box in Belfast.
Boom, boom, boom.
Cool.
I've been going with my girl 4 years. If I was wanting to marry her today, could I marry her here? No, I could not. So, you know, it knocks me 10 steps back. It knocks my confidence down. It makes me feel as if I'm different.
What are your...
You know, and it shouldn't be like that. You know, it shouldn't be like that in any way.
Are you part of a church here?
A church? I'm full Catholic, you know, yeah. And their religion, man should not marry man. You know, do I believe in that? No, I do not. No, I do not, you know.
I'm Phoebe, I'm 23.
And what's it like being bi in Northern Ireland?
It's interesting. It's very weird that depending on who it is I fall in love with, I might or might not be able to get married. I don't know.
Right, I'm going to bed, so can we do like top to bottom or something?
No, I don't do that stuff.
Oh! Why did you jump on the bed?
Because it's fun.
You'll break the springs. Also, you're stealing my duvet.
Everyone's really angry, aren't they? Everyone's like going through it.
Yeah.
They've had to deal with a lot.
Yeah.
It's kind of horrible coming from England and being here, hearing all of that. I feel like it's really unfair.
Yeah.
It's weird. They're like proud of being from here, but sort of hate being from here at the same time.
Yeah.
There's this real like dichotomy. Oh, big word. Is that a word?
Yeah.
What's it mean?
You've picked it up for me.
Have I?
Yeah.
It's just a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm exhausted. Good night.
Bye.
How was the hangover?
Fine. How's yours?
Yeah, it was fine. I didn't think much of the breakfast.
You missed most of it.
I don't know, the sausages were weird, and I didn't really understand the potato bread.
What didn't you understand about it?
Well, it's potato, but also bread.
Yes.
It's quite confusing, isn't it? It's very carby.
You didn't go home with anyone, I noticed.
Right.
I guess this is the first time I've read with him, but are you
wow.
Okay?
Wow, that's so rude. Yeah, I'm totally fine, thank you. We're here to do a job, Dan, and being professional. We're being paid by the BBC. So, it was pretty hard hearing everyone's stories over loud music.
Yeah, it was pretty intense in there. So we decided to go and see Josh, So he's another listener of our podcast, and he's also grown up gay in Northern Ireland, but he lives in the countryside. It's about an hour away from Belfast in a place called Coleraine.
How are we getting there?
I'm going to drive.
No, please, no. Really?
Yes, really.
I don't feel safe. Please don't play Lamb of God again. Oh my God, this is terrifying.
Okay, where am I going?
I don't know.
Well, you're on the sat now.
Coleraine! Then turn left onto Frank. Do what it says. So just go left, maybe. You know, because that's what she's saying.
Okay, thanks.
So watch out for the people.
Yes, thanks.
Just... Okay, I'm going to shut up now,
yeah,
sorry.
Great.
You just do thanks, you. Right, you thanks you do you.
Thanks a lot. Speak to you in Coleraine. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm James.
I'm Josh.
I'm a gay.
Yes, so am I.
Hi, I'm Dan. I'm non-gay.
Is it really surreal, us being here?
Yeah, slightly. I didn't think you'd be standing outside my house. But here you are.
So do you want to... You're going to show us around?
Yeah, let's go for a walk.
Wow. Ah. Can you describe where we are right now, where we've walked to?
We are standing on the very edge of Northern Ireland, the very north coast, overlooking the sea. As the sun's coming down on a gorgeous evening.
It's actually really romantic.
It doesn't get much prettier than this.
It's incredible. And also, this is where they film Game of Thrones.
This is where they film Game of Thrones.
So I'm literally dying inside.
You're like
I'm so excited.
Full Khaleesi mode.
No
yeah,
spoilers.
I am full Khaleesi. Oh, Dan's literally just started it.
Like, Dorne is around the corner.
It's Dorne's around the corner?
Dorne's around the corner.
The guys in Dorne are so hot.
I know.
Let's go. When did you realise you were gay then?
I knew when I was quite young.
Yeah.
I remember having a crush on a guy that would come here for summer holidays.
Okay.
And I must have been 9 or 10.
Did you tell this boy?
No.
Okay. Did anyone know? Did anyone notice?
No.
When did you find it difficult for the first time then?
When I came out in school.
Right. How old were you then?
I would have come out when I was 14, 15, and that was tough.
Yeah.
I was pretty viciously bullied because of it. I was a straight A student. I mean, I was the dream of academia. And then I came out and I left school with mostly C's.
I mean, I left school with mostly C's, so I felt like you were showing off a bit there. But
no.
It's cool. I completely get what you're saying.
And it was...
That's horrific.
Yeah, it really wasn't a fun time. And I know... I know since then that in my friend group back at school, there was 6 of us that hung about. 3 of us were gay. And I was the only one that came out. And the reason they didn't was because they saw what happened to me.
And what was that?
It was, there was a lot of name calling. There was a lot of that macho locker room stuff going on. I just stopped doing games in PE completely because, like, the locker rooms were my worst nightmare.
It's funny because I've experienced that too, but you say the journey here in Northern Ireland being LGBTQ+ is different to that of the rest of the UK. So can you explain how it's so different?
Yeah, I think it's an issue of progress, and England and Scotland and Wales have made so much progress, especially over the last sort of 10 years. You know, the legalising same-sex marriage was the big thing. That was the ultimate goal for so many of us. And when you do something like that on a governmental level, it trickles down into the rest of society. And so people become more tolerant of those that are different. That hasn't happened here. And so that tolerance has never happened either. And so there is just a sort of natural intolerance to being yourself if you're a gay man.
Do you like living here?
That's a difficult question to answer. I love and hate living here. I think it's such a beautiful part of the world and it has so much to offer. But at the same time, there's just so many bad memories that I have to relive all the time that it makes it quite difficult sometimes to be here at all. I mean, I moved away from Northern Ireland once before and was able to
live happily and freely as a gay man, and that only made it even harder to come back because I now know the life that I could have.
Where did you go to?
Sweden.
So you're, are you ready to leave again?
Yeah, happily. Tomorrow.
So why do you want to leave so badly?
Because people are horrible. And there's only so much of people being horrible you can take before it really starts to have an effect on you. But for some reason, people don't understand that what they perceive to be just a fun little thing to do, like shout faggot at a car window, has a real effect on someone, and a crushing effect on someone. And there's only so many times you can deal with that before the chinks in your armor start showing. And when that happens, it doesn't take much to be pushed over the edge then.
When was the last time that happened to you?
Just a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
I was walking into town,
yeah,
and just someone from their car window as they drove past yelled faggot.
Wow. And I guess you weren't holding a pride flag.
No, I was just walking into town.
What were you up to?
I was actually going to meet a friend for coffee.
Right.
That's it. Was just an ordinary... That's another thing, like, I don't even like walking places by myself.
What do they shout?
Faggot. Faggot's the big one. People really like faggot here.
It's number one right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Top of the charts.
So when you were growing up, what did you hear in church with regards to being gay?
I mean, the reason I stopped going to church was because of what I heard. When I was starting to come to terms and starting to come out to people, I remember sitting in like a Sunday school and just being openly taught that being gay was a sin. And at that time I thought, well, I'm gay, so I must be a sinner, I guess. And then it was a real conflict, and I was really stretched between these two. Am I a Christian? Am I gay? What am I? And I thought the only thing I can do to keep myself seen is to remove myself from the situation completely. And so that's why I stopped going to church.
When I was 16, I was in a similar situation to you in that church did not feel like a safe space for me as a gay person. So I walked away and no one really cared. So why is it so different here to do that, to walk away from your church?
I mean, for me, church was a... It was a family thing, you know? It was a... My whole family got together on a Sunday. We spent the day together on a Sunday because of church. Their family friends, our family friends, were all from our church. The kids I grew up with and played with as a kid were all from our church. A church is just a community, but it's a tight-knit community.
So you just walked away from church. Did you want to come out to your family?
A part of me did, of course. But, I mean, my granny was a preacher.
Wow.
Yeah. It's okay. Not the easiest thing to do. I remember standing in the foyer of the church and there being these, like, racks of books and pamphlets, and just walking past one day and seeing a book that was aimed at parents of gay children about how their children don't have to be gay. And there was one called Bringing Your Child Back to God, and it was essentially a book telling parents how to make their gay children straight.
Right.
And what did that consist of?
Gay conversion therapy, essentially. I mean, it could very easily... I could have gone down a very different path.
Why do you think someone would choose to go to that?
It can be really tough to grow up as a gay kid. And if someone came to you when you're feeling it, your worst, coming to terms with who you are, and someone goes, I have this magic wand that will make you better, do you want me to wave it? You'd be very tempted to say yes.
It's really interesting hearing me ask a question like that when I kind of know the answer. You know, like, why would someone go to that? I guess that's me in documentary mode. But listening back to it is really interesting because I already know why someone would potentially choose to do that.
And why is that?
I don't know. I just feel like when I was growing up, and I'm sure this is relatable to a lot of LGBT people, but you have this moment where you kind of realize, oh, I'm gay, and you know that your life's going to be like a lot more difficult. And we've all heard people be homophobic around us and say stupid things and make gay people the joke, and it just puts all this sort of shame on you that you feel like you don't want. And so it would be a lot easier not to be gay.
It's so interesting what Josh and now you are saying about this concept of shame. What do you mean by that?
It's like when people are mean to you as a gay person, you sort of internalize that, and part of you thinks that it's your fault, rather than just thinking like, oh, they're an idiot for saying faggot. You kind of feel like you deserve it because you're different. And I guess that's what shame is. It's sort of thinking I'm the problem. And that's because of the Bible and all sorts of other things from our past telling us that we're the problem. You start to believe it.
So this gay conversion therapy business is coming up a lot, you know.
It's stressing me out.
I think we should maybe find out some more about it.
Okay. Well, I know this is a bit ridiculous, but why don't I just do some? If we're going to find out about it properly, then we need to do it. We need to meet someone that is doing this.
Are you sure? Are you going to be okay?
Well, you're going to come as well.
Well, I guess if you want to do that, then we can.
Okay, well, let's see how this goes down in the next episode of From Gay to Non-Gay.
If you need support with issues relating to sexuality, go to bbc.co.uk/actionline.
Thank you for listening, and don't forget you can subscribe to this podcast on the BBC Sounds app so you never miss an episode. We'll catch you soon.